Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. Don't forget that you can listen to Mike live on Sundays from 8 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Previously on The Mike Novak Show.
Got it. Okay, so as long as I keep turning the compost heap and it generates heat, it should be okay.
Yeah, it may not get as hot as that, but you probably won't have a problem. But keep an eye on things, you know, especially if you've got a noxious weed that you're afraid of. You know, if you're really concerned about it, then don't put it in the compost pile, especially if you have diseased plants. You don't want to add those to the compost pile, especially if you're not sure you can get it hot enough to kill all the pathogens.
Got it. Once again, my wife is right.
That's a good husband on the radio and everything. Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on South Pulaski Road, just across the street from the 53A bus stop and in between Paco's Tacos and Zaka Tacos, it's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by Sid's Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Podcasts of this program, along with green tips, valuable links, and DeMayo weather, are a click away at MikeNovak.net. That's MikeNovak.net. If he's a Renaissance man, I'm a Madonna and child with angels. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I always wonder what she means by that. Welcome to kind of a cool Sunday. I'm getting a hum here. Like, I don't know if anybody, are you hearing that? Why have we got a hum here in the system? Let's get Mike Sanders in here to tear it apart and do what he can. Are we getting a hum here? It sounds like a Mazda.
It probably is
a Mazda. You want to hear this?
Just
check this out.
I couldn't fix anything today.
Yeah, well, put those on.
Oh, that's standard hum, man.
Oh, a standard hum. Okay,
standard
broadcast hum. How come I never hear this?
I got
different headsets today. I got station headsets, so they pick up the hum. I guess my headsets don't pick up the hum.
Your headsets are behind you on the floor in the box.
I know it, because I didn't have time. We were, like, cruising down the highway here at 50 miles an hour just before we went on the air. Beautiful sunny day today. A little cool in certain areas. Anybody see any frost out there? Todd Jacobson, did you see any frost this morning?
You know, I have bloodshot eyes. My son was up all night, so I don't think I saw anything but the road.
Oh, you and Heather can commiserate. How old is your son?
He's 4 months now.
Oh, so you know what that's like, Heather.
Yes,
but that was 3 years ago.
Yes.
We're still learning.
Just under three. Yes.
So you need advice. There she is.
Misery loves company.
I don't know why people would do it, but they do.
we love them, but a lot of work at times.
All the time.
Deirdre Toner. Some people say Deirdre. Some people say Deirdre. Some people Deirdre. What do you like?
I'm a Deirdre.
Deirdre. All right. And they're with Perennials in Focus. Todd Jacobson is from the Morton Arboretum. And we will get to them in just a second, but I want to let you know that in the second hour of the show, we got it's Aldermanic Day on the Mike Novak Show. We have Ward Alderman Joe Moore from the 49th, the Fighting 49th. We got to do the Stephen Colbert tribute right there. The Fighting 49th, and he's here to talk about the Chicago Clean Power Ordinance that he introduced into City Council this week. I mean, it is Earth Week. You know, we got to talk about these issues, but you know, it's something for everybody on the program today. We've got. Where's my coffee, by the way? Would you hand me? I can't do this without
really
my.
We did slide into home.
Oh my goodness! It was just it's like Mike comes into the production room about 4 minutes ago and says, "Mike, I think you're about to be on the air here." I had no clue.
I heard him say, walk by earlier, you got 6 minutes. I thought you heard him say that.
I didn't hear the six-minute call.
I heard that.
Stage manager. I usually pay attention to the stage manager. Thank you, 6 minutes. Joe Moore will be here at 9 o'clock to talk about the Chicago Clean Power Ordinance. And then at 9:30, Scott Wagesback, and that's how you pronounce it, by the way, Wagesback, from the 32nd Ward. And that's about another crucial environmental issue in the city of Chicago, and that's about water privatization. You know, it worked so well for the parking meters. Let's just privatize the water.
Well, didn't the Skyway go like a month or two ago to some corporation in Spain?
I don't know. I thought it was longer than that.
Oh.
I think the Skyway's been gone for a while. Yeah. A
couple of years.
Yeah. So let's, you know, I don't know. What else can we sell off? We got sidewalks, we got skyscrapers, we got, hey, all those trees we put in, you know? Put your name on a tree. And, but we'll talk about water privatization with Alderman Scott Wagesback. And also, actually, John Kiesecker from the Food and Water Watch and Phineas Baxenall from the U.S. PIRG, it's a public interest research group. And then with Joe Moore, we will have Faith Bugle from the Environmental Law and Policy Center. So lots of environment stuff, lots of policy, but let's get to the two people who are in the studio right now, and that's Todd Jacobson, who's Assistant Director of Horticulture at the Morton Arboretum. And I've known him for quite some time, and he's a good guy and knows his stuff. And Deirdre Toner, who I've not met before, who's a landscape designer with DT Design in Old Mill Creek, Illinois. Now, you guys work with perennials. We're in the perennial season, right?
Absolutely.
And they're with a group called Perennials in Focus. And basically what that means is, you know, if you're going to buy something at a store, if you're going to buy a new entry into the world of perennials, you want something that has been evaluated. And I take it that for a while that really didn't happen, at least in this area.
Yeah, I think the need for this was probably came up back when this group was first kind of originated with a friend you know and I know, Roy Diblick.
Good old Roy Diblick from Northwind Perennial Farm up in Wisconsin.
We love Roy, and he's kind of a more of an advisory role in the group now. He's been quite busy these days. But nevertheless, he and a number from Midwest Ground Covers kind of back in the days in the early 90s were always looking for some input on kind of what's hot and what's good performers and perennials. And there was a need for it. And it just didn't seem like there was a good evaluation of plants from a local regional level. And so this group has evolved over the years. And while I have taken over as chair for, well, it's been probably a few years, I forget exactly when, but, and then, you know, Deidre here, she is on our marketing committee, and when we brought her in, really brought us to the next level when it came to helping us develop our website as well as our snapshots that basically we created to disseminate the information. So the bottom line is we're looking to kind of provide information to the public, to the green industry, about perennial plants that are good for this area. So these either are new plants or, like, underused, as we call it, plants that maybe have fallen out of favor, but we're not quite sure why. And so the idea is we try to trial these plants for a three-year period and use objective data to kind of create notes so we can pull it all together and see what our summary is, and we put them into form of a snapshot, as we call it, kind of playing off the role of Perennials in Focus. And that's what you can see when you go to our website, perennialsinfocus.com.
And I've got a photo on the website. And by the way, I've got the website up there, the Perennials in Focus website, which actually has a very simple URL, www.perennialsinfocus.com. And Kathleen put this picture up there just so I could try to pronounce it, I think. The Symphyotrichum oblongifolius. How close am I?
Oh, our October skies aster.
Why don't we just call it that? And, of course, Todd just swallowed his tongue as I tried to say that.
Well, it's a taxonomist making our life difficult because that was a recent change to the good old-fashioned aster as we know it. But that was a... one that we're learning. So
oblongifolius is that, yeah. You know, why would you do this to gardeners?
It happens all the time.
I know it. That's one of the things that's really strange about the gardening world. Just when you think you know a plant's name, they move it to something else. Now, it's still, everybody's still going to call that an aster, right?
Right. Yeah, it's a learning curve, and, you know, it's a force of habit. You know, you just get so used to using the same genus that we've known it as, but I always joke that, you know, I think the taxonomists sit in a room and they got a few beers and they're trying to figure out how can we mess with the horticulturists and the botanists of the world, and I think this is a good way they do it.
I think it is. So how do you, you know, since you're in the marketing committee there, Deirdre, where do you go with this information? Obviously, you want people to go to Perennials in Focus, but you're not only going to the retailers, but you want to reach the public, don't you?
Exactly. We would like the public, the home gardener, and the landscape professional that's out there looking for some information and results from our trials so that they can use that to feel confident that what they're purchasing for their client or for their home garden is going to perform. And the evaluations that we do, then we roll our summary into the snapshot, and those are available on the website in a wonderful PDF form that you can print out. And you can really see what different conditions that the perennials do well in.
And that's one of the important things is that when they're this is for people in the Chicago area. Or would you say zone 5 or zone 4 and zone 5, maybe a little zone 6? I mean, who specifically are you gearing this at?
Well, we're gearing this towards the Chicagoland area, northern Illinois, generally speaking, because, and Deidre can elaborate, we actually have on the site, you can actually go to one of the choices to see the interactive map that kind of shows you all the locations of all the evaluators.
And the map pinpoints each garden and gives you specifics about soil, pests like deer, rabbit, Japanese beetle, and sun and light conditions, and whether or not that particular garden that the evaluator is working with at their home or in a public garden at the Morton Arboretum is irrigated or not, which is a big concern with many people.
Well, it actually leads me into the conversation about, you talked that some of these are new varieties, Todd, and some of these are old varieties that have fallen out of favor. And more people are turning towards natives. How does this fit into that scheme, the idea that maybe we should be going back to some of the older varieties, going back to things that were here when settlers arrived? And how do you reconcile that with the new varieties that people breed all the time?
Well, I think, people have always asked me that question, like, you know, what's your stance on natives? You know, at the Arboretum, certainly we have, you know, our share of native plants, and we've got prairies on our grounds. But my philosophy has always been, you know, I think ornamental plants have a place in the world. I think natives do as well, and I think they work in harmony. I think you can have a situation where you've got a great site where you can plant a nice 3-acre prairie and use strictly natives. But I think for some people, that's just not what they're looking for. So I think sometimes, you know, we have beds at the Arboretum where we do mixed beds of natives with ornamentals. So I think if you're responsible and use plants that are good for our area, that don't have an invasive tendency, that can work together, and we do it often. Yet at the same rate, we do have a trial, for example, on Ruellia humilis, which is wild petunia, and that's native here to
Ruellia. Right. I like that plant.
It's a great plant.
Roy
for native.
Introduced that to me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. In fact, I think Roy might have originally suggested that when we did the decision to, you know, our plants we choose every year. And it's a great plant, but the caution, and people can see this in our snapshot, and maybe it wasn't given a great rating strictly because in a cultivated garden, it can be a pain in the keister because it really does self-seed around. So you have two plants, Ruellia, you're going to have 100 plants within a couple of years depending on the soil conditions. And
I'm still waiting.
Really?
I've got one.
Come on over by me. I'll give you about 50. So
really?
It doesn't take long at all.
And it's an interesting plant because it's one of those plants that shows up late and disappears early kind of thing. And, I mean, so you lose track of it when it's not flowering and not leafed out. And so I can see where somebody would start cultivating and then accidentally moving it around.
Right.
Is a possibility.
Yeah, but it's a good plant, but, you know, we try to be objective about it. These are real gardens. You know, the Arboretum, I've got it easier because I've got the actual gardens as part of our staff help maintain, so I'm not necessarily out there maintaining these plants myself, but I've got a lot of plants out there aside from this trial that we go through. But the bottom line is we've got different representations of different areas of the Chicagoland area. We keep trying to expand. We have people from different facets of the industry, so these aren't just, you know, people in public horticulture. We have educators, we have designers, contractors, landscape suppliers. It's a nice mixture. We even got a gentleman from the Evanston Park District that joined us recently. So we're trying to kind of create this objective panel. We're not in, you know, bed with any particular breeder, any plant introducer. We're not afraid to take a shot at a plant if it's bad, because we're going to tell you. That's the whole idea. So good and bad, you're going to get a good.
All right. Well,
I'll
tell you what. I need to make some money here, but when we get back, I'm interested in some of the plants that have surprised you, good or bad, or some other way. That's Todd Jacobson is here in the studio with Deirdre Toner, and they are with Perennials in Focus. We will return to that in a second. Here's something that you will recognize, Todd. I have a tip from the Care of Trees. It's something to think about as you work in your spring yard. Lawn roots and tree roots are in competition with each other, and lawn roots often win. Studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown, and I met the fellow who did those studies when I was at the Arboretum a couple of weeks ago, and I'm trying to remember his name. That would be
Gary Watson?
Yes, okay. Exactly. And I want to have him on the show and to talk about this, because I think it's really interesting. I think people don't have a clue as to how aggressive lawn roots are at the base of a tree. The studies at the Morton Arboretum have shown that turf grass can reduce the amount of tree roots present in the top few inches of soil by 90%. And that's just one of the reasons why you don't want to plant your lawn anywhere near the trunk of your tree. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard, or you're moving, or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. And one of the things they do that you do at the Morton Arboretum, you work with...
Science.
Yes.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent spray.
What?
Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all-natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bobex at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bobex. To learn more about Bobex, go to Bobex.com. That's Bobex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bobex.
Did you know that you can ensure transplant success with a plant food that is safe for people, pets, and the environment? Well, now you can with new Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, the makers of Hollytone. Biotone Starter Plus feeds naturally and adds beneficial microbes proven to help plants establish fast. The secret is the patented blend of Biotone beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizae fungi. Do you say fungi or fungi? That's the other question.
I'm a fungi guy.
You're a fungi. Good. I'm a fungi guy too. Okay. you got to have your preference on that. Anyway, they go to work fast to grow deeper roots quickly so your new plants can survive and thrive even in poor soils. And unlike chemical fertilizers, Biotone Starter Plus is low in salt so it won't burn plant roots and won't leach out of the soil with the next rain. Simply mix it into your soil at time of planting. What could be easier? Biotone Starter Plus ensures your new plants will perform their best and provide delight for a lifetime. For more information about Biotone Starter Plus and other Espoma products, call 888-ESPOMA-1 or visit www.espoma.com where you can join the Espoma Garden Club to receive timely tips and information. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We're talking to the folks from Perennials in Focus, and, you know, we were talking, you know, listening to about Bobex. And one of the things about critter control, as I call it, I always tell folks, and you deal with that all the time at the Morton Arboretum, when you're dealing with perennials, when you're dealing with any kind of plants, especially if you're, well, almost anywhere, because you get rabbits in the city, you get deer out in the country, you got all the other things. It's always, I find, and I've been told this by other folks, is that it is a measure of keeping the critters off balance, trying new strategies, mixing up strategies all the time. So I've heard really good things about Bobex. Who's the woman who was running Millennium Park? Colleen Lakovich, who has now moved down to the West Coast. And she was on the program last fall and said, hey, I use it at Millennium Park. It's worked great. But I also tell folks, and even the Bobex people have told me, they say, yeah, sometimes you have to use 2-3 products and try other strategies like fencing, like motion detectors, that sort of thing. So
yeah, we've used rabbits, you know, for us are not just an issue on herbaceous perennials, but we've also had during winter, especially during high snow cover, the higher the snow depth, actually the rabbits will use that to their advantage and actually start chewing on shrubs. We've had shrubs actually get, you know, bark stripped off their, you know, lower stems. And we've had to fence some areas. For example, we have a group of lilac that continually have been getting hit, and since they've been small plants for a few years, so we use a combination of fencing at times. We use sometimes we'll have to apply a fungicide just to kind of give them that bad taste, so they'll just stay away from those plants. And sometimes it has to be reapplied, you know, several times in conjunction with the fact that we have vole issues too, which is a big problem at the arboretum, who do a lot of girdling and stripping of bark from lower, you know, basal trunks of shrubs. So if it's not one thing, it's another. But like you said, yeah, you have to really kind of try different things and different sites welcome, you know, different solutions. But, you know, eventually something usually works.
That's Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum. Deirdre Toner is in the studio, too, with Perennials in Focus. Okay, I asked you a question about things that surprise you. You've been doing these trials for about 10 years, is that right?
Well, we started back in the 90s, and in terms of first year we actually had data for? Do you know the year off the top of my head?
Probably it was about 1998 when the trialing really got underway.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got data from several years. We take and trial the perennials for 3 years at a time. So each plant, we take three of each plant, and they go into the garden for a three-year period, and they're evaluated several times during the year. And then that is compiled and creates the summary for the plant.
All right. And folks listening who are gardeners, and even people who just casually grow things. In fact, I would think even sometimes more of the people who are just casually growing things are thinking, okay, what's the goods here? What plant in 12 years of doing this have you gone, wow, why are more people not planting this? And another one, wow, why are people planting this?
Well, I would recommend there is a wonderful plant. It's Brunera macrophylla Jack Frost, also known as Siberian bug gloss.
And that's why nobody buys it.
Right.
Because it's Siberian
of that
bug
name.
Gloss.
But it's a native in our woodlands.
Is it really?
And the basic Brunera macrophylla is a large-leafed green plant. Many people call it
perennial. What's the little blue flower?
It's got a little blue flower. Forget-me-not.
Perennial forget-me-not is what they call it.
Right, exactly. And there's a...
And oddly enough, I couldn't remember the name forget-me-not. But I'm bummed. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Well, and in noting with the native versus perennial garden flowers, they've developed a cultivar of the native plant. It's called Jack Frost. And instead of having a large green leaf, it has a lovely green leaf that is covered with a silver lining on the top of it. With
right.
Green
I've
veins.
Seen this plant, yes.
It has the beautiful blue flowers in the spring for about four weeks, and then the mound of foliage stays in the garden all summer long and is just very, very showy. And it got a four flower rating from Perennials in Focus, and it's on our website. There is a PDF you can print out.
Let me ask you my question about that. I grow the plain green variety, which I love because it spreads. The flowers are awesome in the spring. It's really nice to have that blue color early.
Uh-huh.
And I've grown, I can't even remember the variety of variegated version of that I grew next to it, and it got swallowed up by the plain green version. Does this Siberian bug gloss, what was the variety?
It's Jack Frost.
Jack Frost. Does Jack Frost revert or get swallowed up by its cousin?
This holds its own. And our evaluators over a three-year period were unanimous in the excellent vote that it gave this plant, because in the conditions of a shade garden, semi-shade garden that was somewhat moist, it held up very, very well over time.
Well, I'll tell you what, give me a quickly a bad one, because I got to break and do weather, and I want you guys to stick around for just a little bit, if that's okay, and we'll talk some more about this.
Well, Sarastro bellflower is Campanula. Everybody knows Campanula from the old-fashioned cottage gardens, but the bellflower doesn't hold up very well after it flowers. And we gave this plant a 1.5 flower rating over a three-year period. It's not very good other than when it's flowering.
So that one's going straight to DVD.
Yep.
Yeah, down the tube.
Yeah, give me the name of that one again.
It's Campanula Sarastro. Or bellflower.
Sarastro. What's the characteristic? Because there's lots of Campanulas out there.
It's got a beautiful dark navy blue purple flower. It's very similar to Kent bells. So it's a somewhat upright, woody-stemmed Campanula.
This looks like it would be awesome. But
it does. And it's beautiful when
I've
it's flowering.
I've got a rose version of this.
You're like cherry bells, possibly.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that one seems to do pretty well.
It's a nice plant, just like Deidre alluded to. It's kind of short-lived pleasure from it, and it doesn't really hold up very well, you know, structurally.
See, this is why you got to go to Perennials in Focus. You log on, you find out the ones that are just going to cause you trouble.
Absolutely.
And
if we have any time, I can give you a couple of quick sneak peeks at a couple that we're working on right now that are kind of not finished evaluations.
That's a good tease. We will do that. They're going to stay around for just a little bit longer. So if you're interested in Perennials, and if you have a question, you can give us a call, 773 773- 838-WCPT, 773-838-9278. Now, I love my listeners, especially when you listen to me, and you seem to listen to me when I talk about EcoLawn. I know that because the EcoLawn people tell me that you're calling them with your orders. And I think you're doing that because you want a lawn that your kids and pets can play on without being exposed to the dangers of pesticides, because it doesn't need them. And you want a lawn that you don't have to fertilize or mow. Yeah, my listeners are ready for EcoLawn, and you can check it out at EcoLawn.com. That's EcoLawn.com. This is the low-maintenance lawn you have been waiting for.
Hello, gardeners. It's Ann from Neptune's Harvest Organic Fertilizers in Gloucester, Mass. If you're planting flowers, vegetables, shrubs, or just trying to keep your lawn healthy and green, then you should know about Neptune's Harvest. Neptune's Harvest fertilizers come from the mineral-rich North Atlantic Ocean, which contains all the nutrients plants and soil need. Flower growers, get your sunglasses out. You'll want to use them when you're looking at how bright those colors are. Vegetable growers, with Neptune's Harvest, you can achieve the amazing results you deserve for all your efforts. You'll have the most abundant, sweet-tasting supply of organically grown produce. And there's nothing like the taste of a fresh garden tomato you grew yourself. Neptune's Harvest works so great, whether you know what you're doing or not, you'll look good. And you'll feel good, because you're doing the right thing for the environment and your health. Try Neptune's Harvest products from the ocean to set your plants in motion. Available at your local garden center. And to learn more, go to neptunesharvest.com.
That's our friend Ann Malloy from Neptune's Harvest, and Heather and I love you. Although you can't hear the accent as much in this, not in the commercial this year.
But it's like a warm blanket.
It's like a warm blanket. Yeah, we just love Ann Malloy, especially her accent. And by the way, Neptune's Harvest is a great product too. It's terrific stuff, and fish fertilizer is something that I think everybody should be using more of, and especially if we can make it out of Asian carp. And I know some people are trying to do that, actually, in Illinois. Now, if you don't have time to grow your plants from seed, head over to Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. They have more than 50 varieties of herbs, 4 types of onions, 10 varieties of lettuce, not to mention Swiss chard, tomatoes and peppers, strawberries. Careful about tomatoes. You saw how cold it got last night. Don't do that. You know, yeah, wait a month. Unless you got a greenhouse, you know, unless you got the cold frame. Let me put it this way. Unless you know what you're doing. If not, stick to Swiss chard and lettuce and spinach and celery, kohlrabi, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, that kind of thing that you can get at Pesci's. The plants are hardened to area weather. They're grown from the best seed available and raised in a quality-controlled environment. And if you're looking for ornamentals, they've got those too. Begonias, dahlias, geraniums, ranunculus, stocks, snapdragons. If you're not sure which to put out now in the colder weather, ask them. They're the experts. And their seminars continue in the new remodeled Pesci's Auditorium next Saturday, April 24th at 10 a.m. Marlene Frisbee from Hoffey Nursery talks about native plants. And at 11 a.m., Richard Sierra of Hortec, Inc. talks about shade gardening, rain gardens, and green roofs, all in one talk. And don't forget that 2 weeks from today, May 2nd, the Mike Novak Show, yay, and Mighty House are broadcasting live from Pesci's in Des Plaines, family owned since 1924, where you'll find the best selection and prices guaranteed. Pesci's Garden Center is off I-294 on South River Road, just north of Rand Road in Des Plaines. Well, we're on the B side here. Yes, Heather? We got... Oh, okay. Well, we can't take a call because we got Rick DeMille. But Fran... you hang on. You know, it doesn't help to have this. I meant to do this. There we go.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serves its own needs. Dummies serve your own needs. Feed it up.
You know, when it's time for Rick DeMille, you know it's the end of the world as we know it.
Why is it the end of the world?
I don't know. You're just you're the master of
what?
Of volcanoes and earthquakes and shifting plates, tectonics. And Rick DeMaio weather
is a busy week in the world, hasn't it?
It has been. You know, every time I turn around, there's something going on that you're going to talk about, and it's related to weather, but it might not exactly be weather because I know you're so much interested in earth sciences.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons I love having you here.
All of a sudden, it's like there's almost too many things that you want to talk to me about, right?
Exactly. And by the way, Rick DeMaio Weather is brought to you by Drift Roses, the next big thing for small gardens. Enjoy these easy-to-maintain ground cover varieties in six colors from red to peach. Visit driftroses.com/radio, and I'm wondering, I'll bet you guys have actually done trials on those, haven't you? Have you?
Not yet.
No? Okay. All right, good. That's good. Interesting to know. Mr. DeMaio, how about that? Volcanoes this week.
Yeah, I mean, volcanoes, well, you know, you have the North American plate and the Eurasian plate basically meeting right in the center of Iceland. And there's actually a national park you can go to, Mike. I forget the name of it exactly, but you can put one foot on basically the North American plate and one foot on the Eurasian plate. And right underneath you is the northern edge of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge.
And if you stand there for about 30,000 years, your legs will spread apart by about an inch.
I don't think it's got to be 30,000 years. I'm serious. Those plates are still kind of moving, and obviously with all the, the activity going on across, the lithosphere, which is the crust of the Earth over the last, 6 to 9 months, it's been a very, very active period. What you think about the two earthquakes we had in the Pacific Ocean, one off American Samoa, one off the coast of Sumatra. This was, I think, last September or October. We had a couple of small-scale tsunamis, and then it seemed like nothing happened. And a couple of earthquakes up in Alaska, and nothing happened. And we had, of course, the Haitian earthquake, and then the Chilean earthquake. And you're thinking all these different, P waves and S waves, otherwise known as primary and secondary waves, are kind of moving through the crust of the Earth. And then all of a sudden, you get, a little 5.8 earthquake, off the coast of Baja California down in Tijuana, and let's not forget the 3.8 earthquake that we had just south of DeKalb here in northern Illinois. Remember that one?
Yeah, and now the question, of course, I have to raise is, are these somehow connected?
I mean, absolutely, Mike. I really got to think. You have to look at this and say, when you have a 9.2 magnitude earthquake in Chile like we had early in the year. Those waves just don't go away. And even though we don't feel them here in the form of surface waves, they're obviously moving through the crust of the Earth in some way, shape, or form. And then obviously where there's a crack or a fissure in the Earth, they're eventually going to, become a little bit more exposed. And obviously the crack in the Earth through Iceland is not only just a crack, but it also is connected with magma and obviously some glacial debris on top of that, and look what ends up happening. I mean, they had actually declared that area, safe, and 2 days later you had even a more massive eruption, and on top of that, shutting down airspace over Europe for, 48 hours? And
I understand
almost a quarter of a million people. That's unbelievable.
I understand, though, that one of the airlines, I think it was KLM, flew through the area, just I guess they were testing it to see if they can get flights. That sounds like a brave person to get. It was one of the airlines. I'm not sure if that was the one, but
I didn't hear about that.
I was listening on the way in this morning, who knows? The question again
is canary in the coal mine, huh?
so to speak. Okay, let's see if the jet stays up in the air.
Yeah, by the way, you have no vacation left for the year, so you might as well go for it.
But I wonder if at some point it would seem to me the next great advancement in science. Oh, and of course I have to say that with this.
Never heard this one before.
Yeah, no, you haven't. would be to be able to measure the waves as they roll around the planet and be able to anticipate things like that happening.
I think they obviously with the Richter scale they can measure when these waves kind of all of a sudden erupt. You have your primary wave and then your secondary, and your primaries go in somewhat of a horizontal fashion. Your secondaries go more transverse to the impact or not the impact, but where the epicenter is. And once those secondaries go transverse, meaning perpendicular or a 90-degree angle, they create these surface waves that then obviously the ones we feel. So obviously the closer you are with your quake or epicenter to the surface, you have much more surface wave activity. Mm-hmm. But I think once you get below the lithosphere, and maybe once you get below the quakes, I don't think they have the ability to measure that. I think that kind of is answering your question there somewhat. But, to be able to predict the conditions prior to an earthquake, that's kind of like where science was about 50 years ago with trying to predict what was going to happen with a thunderstorm before it developed into a rotating thunderstorm and a tornado. So I think it's a very frustrating science, but at the same time, you have to look around and go, whoa, there is definitely something going on here.
Yeah.
And my only fear, Mike, is that if something happens, obviously in a more densely populated area in California, because
sure,
we've seen it already in other parts of the world, and you got to think that the people who run the state of California are just sitting there going, please, not us.
But we all know it's going to happen at some point. It's just a matter of how intense and when.
Yeah, I guess that's one way of looking at it in a sobering way, I guess.
Yeah. By the way, Heather found this for me. KLM is leading the push to the following test flights that they did. They flew over Dutch airspace at an altitude of 41,000 feet, and the plane sustained no damage. So
That's almost above where they said the ash cloud was. I was looking.
But you got to go through it to land, don't you? That's what I would be thinking, and to get up there. So.
Well, yeah, but what happens is, from what I was seeing, and I had my aviation students at Lewis University do a case study over the weekend where they have to follow the path of the ash cloud through the use of the European Center for Medium Range Weather Forecast, which is out of Bracknell, England. Most of the ash is in between 20,000 and 35,000 feet, because obviously once it erupts, once it pushes in the upper levels of the atmosphere, it begins to descend.
Mm-hmm.
So 41,000 feet, I think, is almost a little bit too high to be doing a test run. I would think they're probably going to, get the plane down into the lower troposphere, down around 20 or 25,000 feet.
And bring plenty of parachutes. Is what I would say. All right, we need to actually get to weather, because that has become interesting too.
Yeah.
I tell you what, let me do this real quick. We'll have our forecast.
I'll give you a rundown of all the morning low temperatures as well.
Yeah, you sent me a list of them. It's kind of interesting for those of you who are growing stuff and have mm-hmm. started early. I'm sure the Morton Arboretum people are watching this mm-hmm. With interest too, and that's Rick DeMaio weather.
Have a small garden and no time to care for it? And do you love roses, but think you can't grow them? It's time you meet Drift Roses. They're the next big thing for small gardens. Drift Roses are naturally dwarf, ground cover roses with dark, glossy foliage, almost maintenance-free. And they bloom from spring until frost in six delicious colors, from apricot to peach. Available at garden retailers everywhere. Visit driftroses.com/radio.
Here we are, the third week of April, and I know that there are some of you who still don't have a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. I asked last week if you're doing this just because you don't want me to sleep well. It's working, because if you don't have the March-April issue, I know that you don't have the annual Chicagoland Gardening Resource Guide, which comes with it. And I know that you're not getting practical gardening advice for Zone 5, that's us, like how to build a cold frame to extend your growing season. And I know that you haven't been inspired by fantastic gardens from Wheaton to the Chicago neighborhood of Pilsen. And I especially know that you haven't read my column in the back of the magazine, and that really keeps me awake nights. Pick up a copy of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine today, and better yet, get a subscription and have it delivered to your home. Go to ChicagolandGardening.com, ChicagolandGardening.com, or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600, and tell them Mike sent you.
Mom, I'm taking Buddy out to play in the yard.
Wait! Stay on the patio. We just treated the lawn. See the white flags?
Can I play next door in Jonathan Green's yard? He doesn't have any flags.
As long as he's okay with it. Ask him first.
Hi, Mr. Green. Is it okay for us to play in your yard? We're not allowed to play in our yard because we have flags up.
I understand your mother's concern, but you don't have to worry about that on this lawn. I only use my organic weed control.
What does that mean?
It means it's safe to bring Buddy over anytime. Visit your local garden center or hardware store and ask for my Jonathan Green Organic Lawn Care Fertilizers. It's the safe way to grow a beautiful and carefree lawn. Ask for a free copy of my Organic Products Guide. It tells you everything you need to know to go organic with your lawn.
Find your nearest dealer at jonathangreen.com.
And for more information, you can log on to jonathangreen.com, register to receive the Jonathan Green newsletter, and you can find Jonathan Green products at Hare Nursery in Peoria, Sid's Home and Garden Showplace in Palos Hills, and Tholen's Garden Center in Kankakee. Now, these days, more and more businesses are going green, and that's good news, but the growing popularity of green service providers also points to the value of those that have led the way. WRD Environmental is one of them. Since it was formed in 1997, WRD's mission has been to create sustainable landscapes. They have always used locally grown native plants when possible in their design and build projects, used recycled energy efficient supplies, and sought nature's balance. Being green has simply been part of their DNA since their founding 13 years ago. Even their location speaks to their commitment. WRD is in the Chicago Center for Green Technology, one of the nation's greenest buildings. Their civic contributions towards sustainability run deep. Staff members are on the boards of a variety of green organizations, and through the years, they have donated their expertise to several green nonprofits. For experienced, sustainable landscape development, trust the professionals at WRD Environmental. On the web at WRDEnvironmental.com. You can also trust my professional, Rick DeMille, who does weather on the show every week. And so it got cold on us for a day. Is this going to last?
You know what? Temperatures, Mike, only dip down below 32 degrees in a very small part of the metropolitan area, only for about an hour or two. Here are some of the official low temperatures for this morning. O'Hare, 36. Midway, 38. Lewis University of Romeoville, 36. Rockford, 32. Lakefront, 43. Waukegan, 33. And that was only because the wind was pretty much off the lake all night, about 5 miles per hour. So it's really tough to get below freezing this time of the year. But the average date of the last freeze for O'Hare is April 24th, which is next week. And the good news is that the pattern begins to warm up beginning today, and then by this time next week, it looks like we'll generally be in a very cloudy kind of wet pattern. So I would think today, Mike, was the last day for sure. I'm saying 100% possibility, last day for sure.
Of what, a freeze? Of a freeze?
Of a freeze, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. In terms of frost, we could still get that, and that's why we tell people.
Yeah, in terms of frost, yeah, that's no big deal.
Well, I've got the experts in the room here. Tell me how the early warmth and now this cold affects gardeners and affects the kinds of plants you have, the Morton Arboretum, but the kind of things that you design, Deirdre.
Well, one of the big things is our flowering trees right now,
the
magnolia.
Yeah.
And I'm up in Old Mill Creek, Illinois, which is near Waukegan, and I was hoping that our low temperatures and the frost that we got in the backyard wouldn't brown out my magnolia buds, and they're holding forth. They look great.
Like I said, Waukegan got down to 33, but you know what? This was a very dry cold. There wasn't any frost with this. So I think that'll probably, even if you get to 33 for 1 hour, I think that's a lot better than getting to 34 and having 2 or 3 hours of frost, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and Todd?
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting spring. I mean, we're a couple weeks ahead of our normal flowering range for a lot of our trees and shrubs that are out there, which is great. You know, we always get excited, but I'm always still cautious. We've had years where, you know, usually for us, we don't put in our summer annuals, for example, until that last week of May. I've gotten burned in the past where mid-May and you get that sudden frost that you weren't expecting. It's, you know, certainly as time goes by, I would agree with Rick, we're getting more and more out of the woods with that. But there's always that chance, and so I'm always very cautious. Mm-hmm. I've seen some people putting in summer annuals already. I'm like, you know, it's really, you know, like driving a or flying a plane through volcanic ash, I guess. Kind of crapshoot.
I think, Mike, this is where, you know, we have to remind Chicagoans that we live in a microclimate where, you know, you think about these overnight lows, and it was 43 at the lakefront. And I think if people within about 2 or 3 miles of Lake Michigan you know, Lake and Cook County want to go out and get their annuals in and put them in the ground, I think you can do it. I really, really do. Obviously,
you know, Todd is rolling his eyes here, so you should.
I have to disagree because I really think the people close to the lake, and I'm saying within about 2 miles, I'm not saying west of, say, you know, 294, but I just seen more and more, and I've been in the city now 25 years, and I just think that when you get close to the lake, you got to take advantage of that. I really do. Now, granted, west of 294, west of I-355, completely different story.
Right.
But really, I think, and because the fact that Lake Michigan is running, Mike, think about this, almost 7 degrees warmer than it was last year this time to all the recent warm. And last night was a testament to that, where we had a wind off the lake and the temperature barely got below 45 degrees.
That's a really good point. All right, so...
That early warmth of the lake really has a lot to do with our microclimate, really
good
does.
Good to know. That's Rick DeMaio Weather. He's here with us every week around 8:30 when I get to him. And, of course, this week is going to get warmer, some rain next week, and we will talk to you next Sunday.
Okay, Mike, sounds good.
All right, thanks, Rick. To celebrate their Earth Week in style, Sid's Greenhouses present their second annual Spring Planting Festival at their store in Bolingbrook. I was there last year for that. It's a great event. Since the early 1960s, Sid's Greenhouses has been on the cutting edge of the gardening scene. This two-day event is intended to inspire awareness, appreciation, and respect for the environment, our communities, and homes. This coming Friday and Saturday, April 23rd and 24th, Sid's invites you to attend this special event. They've planned free educational seminars, and many of their key suppliers, as well as community groups, will be there to share information on improving your home, yards, gardens. Admission and parking are free. Plus, there will be refreshments and door prizes, too. Sid's Spring Planting Festival events are only at their Bolingbrook store from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Friday, April 23rd, and on Saturday, April 24th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit sidsonline.com today, where you'll find all of the details of the event, including the list of free seminars. Sid's Home and Garden Showplace in Bolingbrook is located at 550 South Naperville Plainfield Road at 111th Street, also known as Hassert Boulevard.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687 or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
We talked about this earlier. It's the time of year I get the critter question, and it's often about the burrowing kind, moles, voles, rabbits, squirrels, gophers, groundhogs. Did I miss anything in there? And it covers a lot of them there. You know, the one that will make your yard look like some kind of trench warfare is going on, and it is. Well, if you're going to use a product, use a safe one. Bonide's All-Natural Mole Max, a granular product that you can put down with your spreader to cover your entire lawn, or you can use a convenient shaker applicator for your flower or vegetable gardens. Use 3 to 4 times a year. Mole Max is a very effective repellent for those burrowing critters. And Mole Max is safe to apply where kids and pets play, and it's safe for the environment. However, as with any product, and I tell you this all the time, please read and follow label directions. Will you do that for me? Mole Max can be found at Hawthorne Gardens and Hawthorne Woods, Wasco Nursery in St. Charles, the Barn Nursery in Cary, or go to Bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of the Bonide Garden Naturals. This is the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM, part of Self Help Sunday. And in the studio, Todd Jacobson from the Morton Arboretum. Let's get it up. Deirdre Toner is a landscape designer. All right, where did we leave off? We were talking about some of the plants that we like and don't like in the, because they're part of Perennials in Focus, where they evaluate perennials.
Right, we had a couple that we could toss out there, and these are all, once again, on the website that you can go to, and It'll talk about our completed evaluations and our current evaluations. Not every evaluation has a snapshot written yet, since we just launched the site recently, which I should give a plug to the College of DuPage, which helped us develop and maintain the website for us and continue to do so.
Let's hear it for the College of DuPage.
Yeah, well, kudos. And Julia Fitzpatrick, who is one of the professors there in horticulture, who's kind of our liaison, and she's also on our committee. So we do appreciate their help. But nevertheless, so we thought we'd point out a couple that are under our current evaluations that we haven't released any information on yet. I think Deidre has one she can share, and I can do one as well.
And a fabulous perennial that started our trial 2009 to 2012 is Penstemon Dark Towers. And it is similar to the Husker's Red, which you may be familiar with. But Dark Towers is about 30, 34 inches tall, has beautiful deep green and burgundy foliage with white spires that have a raspberry pink tinge. But the greatest part about it is it lasts in flower for about 4 to 6 weeks in May to June. And it remains upright and gorgeous in the garden for the rest of the summer. You can deadhead it, and it will rebloom. And it just
people like that when things rebloom.
Yeah, and yeah. It just adds a great vertical accent in
and give me the name of that again.
It's Penstemon Dark Towers.
All right, and you like it better than Husker Red?
Husker's Red is great. Penstemon Dark Towers is a little bit stronger.
Okay.
In the 2 years that I've had it, it's a little stronger.
All right. We got 30 seconds for you to give your evaluation here.
Yeah, there's another one we're doing as part of our 2009-2012 evaluation. Solidago Wichita Mountains. This Solidago Goldenrod is very interesting and different from others because actually the blooms on this look something more along the lines of a gay feather, a liatris. It's like a bright lemon yellow bloom, you know, gets 24, 30 inches tall, nice vertical accent, mixes well with asters like Aster amapashki, for example. But just phenomenal, but very unusual because usually most of the Solidago you look at very, you know, narrow, thin, racing blooms. This is very kind of beefy, kind of like a liatris. So I think one that's really exciting.
All right. Perennials in Focus. Go to www.perennialsinfocus.com. Todd Jacobson, Deirdre Toner, thank you so much for coming down and sharing all this.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
If you're a gardener, you should check it out. Okay, we're coming up on CNN News and then the second big hour following that.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast green, gardening, and environment program. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, our business's people and their love for trees. And by SIDS Greenhouses, Chicagoland's premier garden centers. And by Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929. And by Back to Nature Compost. Life doesn't start with the seed, it starts with the soil. And by EcoLawn, the ultimate low-maintenance, drought-tolerant lawn. And by WRD Environmental, creating sustainable landscapes for today and tomorrow. Here he is, Mike Novak.
I don't know. All of a sudden, I feel like playing basketball. I just don't get it. Alderman Joe Moore is now in the studio. Joe Moore has entered the building from the Fightin' 49th. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
It's been such a long time since I saw you.
Almost 24 hours.
Not quite. As we were... We were over at the big fair yesterday out at...
Loyola University's Earth Day event.
Right, North Lakeshore Earth Day 2010 Recipe for a Healthy Planet, and it was fun talking there, and thank you to all the good folks from the whole area there, not just the 49th. Edgewater and Rogers Park, and who else is involved in
Uptown.
That? Uptown. And on and on, just the whole area of people... came by to find out how to treat the planet better. And that's one of the reasons that Alderman Moore is on the show today, because earlier in the week he had an event downtown, which was a prelude to introducing an ordinance in city council about how to protect our air in Chicago, or you know, make it better, because it's it has gotten better over the years, but we still have a problem in that we have a couple of coal-fired plants operating, and the irony for me always is that I pass both of them on the way into work.
Right.
Because, you know, if I come down the Stevenson, I get to see Fisk, and then I get the little village, the Crawford, and they're usually both belching smoke.
Yeah, I came down the Stevenson today from my north side perch and drove right by them.
Assisting us in the conversation today is Faith Bugel, senior attorney from the Environmental Law and Policy Center. Hi, Faith. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Thank you so much. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. And by the way,
hey, Mike, how did Faith get to stay home in bed? While
I'm not sure. She has
she's a mommy. Okay.
Three young kids. Yeah.
Oh, see, you're already bonding with Heather,
and I have a young teenager who sleeps in until 11 o'clock or 12 noon or so.
Oh, that's about 6 hours after my kids.
Yeah.
Faith was down there at the gathering at City Hall on Tuesday, where you announced that you were introducing this legislation, the ordinance. Faith, let's start with you about why we need this in the city of Chicago.
You know, our organization and a bunch of other organizations have been concerned about these coal plants for many, many years. I've actually been working on ways to address the pollution from Fisk and Crawford ever since I started at Environmental Law and Policy 9 years ago. It was my very first project when I came on board. And our biggest concern, I think our concerns are threefold. These plants are located in densely populated urban areas. And if you look at the numbers, we are the only major city in the country with not only one, but two coal-fired power plants within city limits. We look at the other cities that have two coal-fired power plants, and they are much smaller and much less densely populated than Chicago. That includes Denver and Cleveland and Lansing, Michigan. In addition, their plants are smaller and emit less pollution. So we have a problem that no other city in the country has. On top of it, these plants are old. They were built over 100 years ago. The equipment, their boilers were upgraded over 50 years ago. And the pollution controls that they've installed for the pollutants at issue in the ordinance are completely outdated. And what we're talking about is particulate matter. Their particulate matter pollution controls are also 50, 60 years old. They're called ESPs. They're completely outdated. It wouldn't be a stretch to say they're being held together with duct tape. As a result, we are seeing opacity violations, and opacity is a measure of particulate matter. And we have seen consistent opacity violations at these plants. Because of their age, they are grandfathered under the Clean Air Act, or so they claim. We are actually in an ongoing enforcement action that says that these plants actually have modified and have triggered the newer source stringent requirements, but they have not yet applied those at the plant. They have not installed more modern pollution controls. So what we really see are old, dirty plants in urban areas, in densely populated areas, where they are impacting the health of the people living right next to those plants. Those are in minority low-income neighborhoods, so there's an environmental justice issue. And they've fallen through the cracks in federal and state legislation. So three cheers to Alderman Moore, who finally said, okay, you know, if the feds aren't going to do anything, if the state isn't going to do anything, the city should. And thank you to Alderman Moore for sponsoring this.
Well, okay, let's go to Alderman Moore. You know, aside from the obvious reason, which is that we shouldn't have to deal with this particulate matter and pollution in our city, within our city limits, what's the other motives behind you introducing? I mean, they're not in your ward. So I'm kind of curious why you introduced this ordinance.
Well, the you know, there isn't 49th Ward air and Little Village air and Pilsen air. There is air that we all breathe.
Oh,
and
listen, I live in a bubble, but maybe that's
you've been
just
accused
me.
Of that, and I have as well. But it's not true. It's not true. We you know, seriously, we all breathe the air, and we also live on the same planet. And one of the things that this ordinance addresses is the emission of carbon dioxide and requiring for the first time limits on the amount of carbon dioxide that that a power plant emits. No other legislation does this state or federal level, and Chicago, through this ordinance, is stepping up to the plate. You know, we have this reputation as being a green city, or the largest green city in America. And to a large extent, that reputation is deserved. However, these coal-fired power plants put a big blot on that reputation, and it's up to the city council to help convince the Daley administration that the best way of truly achieving the title of the greenest city in America is to clean up these power plants.
All right, all right. You had a moment there where you almost said shut them down, and that seems to be one of the issues. Now, personally,
well, shut down the harmful emissions that are being emitted from those plants.
Yes.
Clean them up. And the fact is, it's a false argument about whether these plants. You know,
the argument from this.
The argument from Midwest Generation is. Which is the company that runs these power plants, is, you know, you put in these additional requirements, we're going to have to shut down the power plants. Well, there are a couple responses to that. You know, first of all, that's what industry says anytime there is additional regulations that help protect the public health and welfare. They say, well, you put in these additional requirements, you know, we're going to have to shut down our plant and we're going to cost people all these jobs. Well, you hear that time and time and time again. And guess what? You know, they comply, and it turns out that the health of the workers is better, that the their safety is better, that the environment is cleaner. You know, Faith mentioned we've had the Clean Air Act on the books for 40 years now. We're approaching the 40th anniversary. And there
You're
have
sorry,
been,
national.
The National Clean Air Act.
Yes.
Yeah. And during the time that Clean Air Act has been in place, we've had some of the longest periods of economic growth that this nation has ever witnessed. The fact of the matter is, it's a false choice between a clean environment and a good economy. In fact, the it's not a choice at all. They go hand in hand.
Well, that's part of what you're doing here. It's not just about reducing the emissions from these plants and or figuring out it is figuring out what else we can do. It's more of a positive approach. It's let's develop clean energy for the city of Chicago, right?
Absolutely. And the technology is available today for these plants to be operating in a cleaner fashion. The technology is available today for them to comply with this new ordinance. And the fact of the matter is, when have you ever heard industry say, okay, We're for these regulations. We're absolutely bring it on. No, they're going to constantly fight tooth and nail, because the ultimate goal of any for-profit company is to maximize profits, and so it's our role as public officials who are charged with protecting the public health and the public welfare to say, wait a second, balance your need to make profits with the need of the public to live in a healthy environment and the need of our planet to survive.
That's Alderman Joe Moore from the 49th Ward. Also on the phone is Faith Bugle, senior attorney with the Environmental Law and Policy Center. How groundbreaking is this ordinance? You mentioned, Faith, that this has not been done in other parts of the country. What kind of precedent would this set?
Well, this hasn't been done in other parts of the country, but first I would like to say that the city does have the authority to do this. The city just recently passed its city air quality ordinance, so the city does, in fact, pass local ordinances to regulate air quality. It has the authority to do so wherever there is a pollutant that is emitted by a local source and it has impacts on the local population. In terms of what we've seen on a national scale, we did a survey. Our research was, I would say, detailed. However, it wouldn't, you know, there is a possibility that there's some city out there that's done something similar that we just haven't turned up in our research.
But not on the scale of Chicago.
What we have not seen another city to do this.
Uh-huh.
And from Chicago's perspective, I think that's a gap in the sense that other cities can and should take charge of local air quality and the sources within city limits. Nonetheless, I would love to see Chicago be a leader, set a precedent, and then have other cities follow suit and say, hey, you know, the feds have dropped the ball on global warming legislation, on, you know, regulations of CO2. The states have dropped the ball, and really see the cities step up and take charge and be environmental leaders.
You know, it leads to all kinds of issues, the idea that we're still kowtowing to the coal industry and they're stripping the tops off of mountains is something that frustrates me about the Obama administration, and they're not moving forward. But let's get back to the local issue. I guess the question I would have about that, and you say, Faith, that we can do it, and Joe, I'll ask you, are there preemption laws that we have to worry about in the state of Illinois?
I think basically answer that question is that the city does have broad authority to enact legislation on the local level to protect the public health and welfare. One of the few progressive measures that the state of Illinois has on the books is the power of home rule, which is really basically saying that localities, cities and towns who know best, the elected officials in those towns know best what the issues are in their local communities, have broad power to enact legislation to protect the public's health and welfare. And there is nothing on the books right now in the state of Illinois that would preempt a city like Chicago regulating a power plant that falls within its limits with respect to emissions of harmful toxins into the air.
Okay, that's Alderman Joe Moore from the 49th Ward, and on the line I have Faith Bugle, Senior Attorney from ELPC, that's the Environmental Law and Policy Center. I've got more questions about the ordinance that you know, next step. Where do we go with this? But let me take care of this, and we will get back to them in just a second. If you think that organics are the new kid on the block, consider this. The Espoma Company has been producing high-quality organic and natural products for more than 8 decades, and they just made growing beautiful plants in containers easier and organic. Introducing the new Espoma Organic Potting Mix. Espoma is the maker of Holly Tone, Plant Tone, and other organic plant foods. If the word tone is in the name, you know it's made by Espoma. Now they make container growing mixes. Espoma Organic Potting Mix is a blend of only the finest natural ingredients and is fortified with mycotone mycorrhizae. Mycotone promotes root growth and helps grow bigger, better plants with more blooms. Look for all of the new Espoma Organic Potting Mixes at your local garden center this spring. Here's one more. New Espoma Grow Tone, the ideal liquid plant food for all potted plants. For more information about Espoma Natural Gardening Solutions, call 888-ESPOMA1 or visit espoma.com. That's ESPOMA.com. Espoma, the leader in natural gardening solutions since 1929.
Hey, gardeners. Want to be inspired? Make plans to visit Cantini Gardens in Wheaton, the 500-acre former estate of Robert R. McCormick. Cantini isn't just beautiful, it's a horticultural masterpiece. Stroll through the spectacular formal gardens created by renowned landscape architect Franz Lipp and marvel at the sheer variety of annuals, perennials, ground covers, trees, and shrubs. You'll love Cantini's Idea Garden, Rose Garden, and Native Prairie, too. Cantini has something for everyone, including museums, picnic area, gift shop, and restaurants. Plan your visit today at cantini.org.
I like that one.
Here's Wally's, Dr. Wally's tip of the week, brought to you by Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines. Of course, Wally is not a real doctor, but he could probably graft an apple tree onto the telephone pole in your alley. Anyway, after your tulips, daffodils, and hyacinths have finished flowering and the petals begin to fall, cut off the flower stalk, but not the leaves. Deadheading and not letting the dried flower go to seed will send energy to the bulb. You can also fertilize at this time. You might want to use a water-soluble fertilizer. You know, we talked about Neptune's Harvest. That would be a great thing. Or the Espoma foliar, or rather liquid fertilizer. The foliage and fertilizer will add strength to the bulb for happy returns next year. Cutting the foliage off will kill the bulb for next year. So, you know, don't do that. And you don't even want to tie them up. I don't know if a lot of people want to tie up their daffodil leaves. That's just goofy, okay? In the veggie garden, here's the tip now. Peas and beans bring up nitrogen from deep in the soil. After harvest, cut off the dried vines at ground level and leave the roots in the soil. Wally says that he plants lettuce right over the area where he previously grew legumes to take advantage of nature's nitrogen. Pesci's in Des Plaines, family owned since 1924. You're going to get that kind of advice from the folks out there. They're just minutes off of I-294. At 170 South River Road in Des Plaines, or visit them online at Pesci's.com. P-E-S-C-H-E-S.com. Pesci's. Three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality. You know, all I can think of is how many times you're going to hear this song this week in various places. But Marvin's just too good. You got to play this song.
I am.
And that is Alderman Joe Moore from the 49th Ward. And he's trying to make things the way they used to be, better. And actually, we have gotten better over the years. We were discussing this at the talk I gave at the Earth Day event at Loyola. Yes, yesterday somebody asked me the question. We've got these two power plants. When was the last one removed? And it's been about 20 years since we had another one in the city. So these are the last remnants.
They're the old dinosaurs that have to be brought up to date.
And their argument, a Midwest generation, just to backtrack for a second, is that they have added controls.
They sure have. And you know why? Because government stepped in and forced them to. They didn't do it voluntarily. You know, that's the role of government, is to protect the welfare of everybody, not to protect just the interests of industry. And so, they put on those controls. They put on those controls because they had to. And all we're doing now is asking them to, you know, going that next step and trying to control the emissions, particularly the fine particulates that scientists and doctors believe are one of the major causes of respiratory diseases, particularly asthma, in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
And the controls that they put on actually are, they have put on controls for nitrogen oxides because there was a federal rule called the NOx-CIP call that called on the states to further reduce NOx. And they've reduced their SO2 emissions. My understanding is that they've primarily reduced them by switching from high sulfur coal to low sulfur coal. So they haven't, in fact, put on major state-of-the-art SO2 controls. And again, that was because of a federal program, the Acid Rain program, that called on the states to reduce sulfur dioxide. They have not, in fact, done anything about their particulate matter pollution, as the alderman just pointed out. So that is that really, as I stated at the beginning of our interview, that's the gap that needs to be filled along with CO2.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of a hardcore guy. I mean, I don't want Chicagoans to lose jobs.
Absolutely not.
But if I had it my way, I'd shut them down because I just think it's crazy. It's in the city of Chicago, and you know, and you talked earlier, Alderman Moore, about us being one of the greener cities around, and we got some real gaps.
We sure do.
This is a huge, huge gap. The other one is our non-existent recycling, which you know that I am a big champion of. And there are a few others, and there are other reasons why we should be considered green. You're right. We've done some things right, but I don't, for the life of me, I do not understand these blind spots.
Well, Mike, the fact is the technology is available to clean them up. We don't have to shut them down. We don't have to lose the jobs. In fact, implementing this new technology, and actually it's not all that new, but implementing the steps that would be required to comply with the new ordinance would actually create jobs, create construction jobs. So this is actually not just job neutral; it's actually a job creator. And also the fact is that study upon study has shown that moving to a green economy, moving to green power, not only cleaning up dirty old plants, but also creating solar power, wind-generated power, is a job creator. In fact, creates more jobs, good-paying jobs, than any coal-fired plant would ever create.
Do we have numbers on how much more efficient these plants could be in reducing the particulate matter and other pollutants?
Well, the ordinance puts into place a number of requirements that would really reduce dramatically the amount of particulate matter put into the air. And again, we're talking about technology that is currently available. We're not talking pie in the sky here. And with respect to carbon emissions, one of the ways that these plants could comply easily with that requirement and still generate the same amount of power is to convert to natural gas, which is a much more much cleaner burning fuel than coal is.
And let me just toss a couple things out there on that. First, Midwest Gen was quoted in the press this week as saying that it would cost them $180 million to convert to natural gas. While that figure may sound absolutely enormous to your average citizen, it actually, for a business the size of Midwest Gen, for the operating budget of these coal plants, that is not an unreasonable number. A lot of the pollution controls that we're talking about, putting on a sulfur scrubber, runs in excess of $100 million. So that type of conversion in terms of pollution controls is really within the gamut of a normal range and of the type of cost that a company like this can take on and still recover it and operate profitably. So it's not, it really is not unreasonable converting to natural gas. In terms of the figure for particulate matter, the ordinance does require a 90% reduction in particulate matter, and that the limit that the ordinance proposes is the limit that is very normally included in permits for new plants. So again, this is not out of the range of reasonable. It's not extraordinary. We are simply asking for these plants to meet the limits that are either met by natural gas plants or the limits met by new coal-fired power plants. And their technology is there to make these reductions.
On the phone, we have Faith Bugle from Environmental Law and Policy Center. Well, and in the studio, Joe Moore from the 49th Ward. He's the alderman. Let's get to the nuts and bolts of that. You introduced this ordinance, and it immediately has been referred to committee.
It was referred to the City Council Committee on Rules.
Rules? Okay,
yes,
so
yes.
All right. I was trying to remember. You told me yesterday, and I wasn't sure which committee it had gone to.
Well,
why wouldn't it go to the Environment Committee?
Well, that's where we tried to send it to. Two of my colleagues, Alderman Mell and Alderman Burke, managed to have it sent to the Rules Committee. And without going into all the legislative weeds here, let's just say that the City Council Committee on Rules is the traditional burial ground for legislation. But before anyone despairs, no reform, no path-breaking legislation ever moves through the City Council without broad-based community support. And one of the great things about this ordinance is that there's a really broad coalition of community organizations, environmental organizations, not only the Environmental Law and Policy Center, but the Sierra Club, other well-respected organizations, organizations committed to enhancing the public health, the Metropolitan Chicago Respiratory Health Association, which used to be called the Lung Association. They have put their muscle behind this ordinance, and there's a lot of energy in the community. So the aldermen are going to hear from their constituents on this. They're going to hear from people who care about public health. They're going to hear about people who care about the environment, and this ordinance is going to move forward.
The whole city council thing to me is a mystery, and I often wonder why someone would want to be a member of the Chicago City Council. No offense, Alderman, because a lot doesn't happen there. And when people introduce ordinances, like you said, sometimes they just go to committees to die, and that can happen in any government organization. But we also know that it's really important. What the mayor thinks of this, and what are you hearing from the mayor's office?
Well, to tell you the truth, this ordinance is right along the lines of the mayor's climate action plan. The mayor and the Department of Environment, about 2 years ago, launched, if you will, a climate action plan whereby the city of Chicago has undertaken a commitment to reduce its carbon footprint, to undertake steps to limit the emissions of carbon dioxide into the air from various sources within the city of Chicago. And one of the measures in that climate action plan, one of the goals, is to upgrade, clean up the two coal-fired power plants within the city's jurisdiction. So all this ordinance does is mandate what the mayor and his folks have already said is their goal, which is to clean up those two coal-fired power plants.
And, of course, you know, though, if it doesn't come out of committee, the mayor will say, hey, it's not me. I didn't have anything to do with it. The committee didn't vote it out. But I understand what you're saying is that the mayor has said in his official plan, climate action plan, that this is what they want. And I think it's encouraging that you already have nine other aldermen who signed on as co-sponsors. What you need is 26.
Need 26 to get a matter passed through the city council.
I mean, could you get 26 and still not have it come out of committee?
Well, you need to have 26 aldermen vote. You need to have 26 aldermen ultimately vote in support of this. And mm-hmm. there are ways that you parliamentary maneuvers that you can employ to get a matter out of committee. But you need the majority of the city council, 26 votes.
So the point I'm going to make is nine aldermen. In addition to this, so do you have nine total or 10 total here?
10 total, counting me.
All right. So we got 10, and, 10 and, out of 50. And, you got one fifth of the aldermen already are on board with
that's
this.
That's right. And I think if I recall you telling me correctly yesterday, but one of my co-sponsors is going to be a guest on your show
right.
in a short while.
In just a couple
Alderman
of minutes.
Scott Wagasbeck.
Yep. Scott Wagasbeck is going to be here in just a few minutes. He's one of the people, Tony Preckwinkle, Sandy Jackson, Tony Folks, Joanne Thompson, Sharon Dixon, Ray Colon, Eugene Schulter, and Marianne Smith.
Yeah, we've got a broad coalition of aldermen from all parts of the city. We've got aldermen, as your list indicates, aldermen from representing predominantly white communities, African American communities, Hispanic communities, who are all coming together as
well,
one
I'm calling my
to clean
aldermen.
Up. This clean up these power plants.
I'm going to talk to Maldonado and say, hey, get on
you
board.
You know, Alderman Maldonado has had an enviable record when he was in the county board of being one of the staunchest advocates of the environment on the Cook County Board. Now he's on the city council. I hope and expect
yeah.
he will join this ordinance. And, of course, like any alderman, Alderman Maldonado would want to hear from his constituents.
Absolutely. All right. And the other thing you should know is that – so the point I'm going to make, call your alderman. Call the alderman's office. Write to your alderman. Put pressure on them. We don't need coal-fired plants in the city of Chicago. Do that. Go to my website. You can log on to Chicago Clean Power Coalition, which is on the website, MikeNovak.net, this week's show. Or you can just go to cleanpowerchicago.org. I also have the YouTube video of your event last Tuesday where you announced the ordinance. And we're going to keep track of this and You know, people, if you want to be heard, you have to step up and you have to let the people in power know what you want. I didn't even get to talk to you about all this other stuff I wanted to talk about, but this is great, and we'll continue this conversation, Alderman Moore. Okay?
Yeah, and I would just echo what you said, is that do not underestimate the ability of a few citizens in each ward visiting their alderman and emphasizing the importance of supporting this ordinance. Don't underestimate that impact. It really does have an impact. You know, there's been a lot of talk about the influence of money in politics, and it's there, no question about it. But even with that, there's nothing more powerful than individual residents going to their elected officials and telling them they need them to support a ordinance, in this case, the Clean Power Ordinance.
Alderman Joe Moore, 49th Ward, thank you so much. Faith Bugle from ELPC, thank you also.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
ELPC has been great on this, and they've been very helpful in drafting this ordinance and moving it forward.
That's great. We will talk again. We will follow this as it develops. You all have a great day.
You too.
You say you want a revolution. Well, there's a lawn revolution going on in America, and one of the leaders is EcoLawn. It's the lawn that uses almost no water or fertilizer once established. And mowing, okay, if you want to, but it's not necessary. Like I said, EcoLawn is a revolutionary blend of fine fescue grasses that will tolerate shade and will grow in clay soils, sandy soils, and nutrient-depleted soils. Oh, yes, it outcompetes weeds, too. EcoLawn is great for the city, great for the suburbs, great for any yard. You can find it at ecolawn.com, ecolawn.com. We call it EcoLawn.
Homeowners, why replace your expensive shrubbery every time deer or rabbits visit your property? You can save your plantings for a fraction of the cost with Bob-X. Spring is finally here, and nature's hungry creatures will start feasting on your gardens and landscapes. Stop them the all-natural way with Bob-X repellent sprays. Bob-X guarantees protection for your spring plantings from deer and small animal damage. Use the most effective animal repellents on the market. Bob-X repellents give people the confidence to invest in and enjoy their landscapes. Bob-X's unique deterrent ingredients are all natural and are environmentally friendly. Bob-X won't wash off in the rain or with regular watering. Get Bob-X at your local independent garden center or hardware store. If they don't have it, ask them to get Bob-X. To learn more about Bob-X, go to bobx.com. That's bobex.com. Plants thrive and survive with Bob-X.
This isn't a tip, but it's what people are saying about the care of trees. One customer said, "We have 3/4 of an acre with over 40 trees on it. We interviewed and received quotes by 3 local service teams. Not only was your quote the most competitively priced, but your arborist took thorough time to walk us through all of our options and pointed out things that neither of the other two competitors would show us." Another client said, "Excellent service, willingness to go that extra mile." Well, you can go online to thecareoftrees.com and read more comments like this yourself. With 9 locations, the Care of Trees has been serving Chicagoland for 60 years. Make the Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Whether you want to make sure all is well with the trees in your yard or you're changing your landscaping, invite the certified arborist at the Care of Trees to take a look. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees, their business is people and their love for trees. And I see that John Kiesecker has entered the building. How you doing, John?
Good. Thanks, Mike.
It's good to see you. I'm glad you were able to come down, because you're not even a Chicago guy right now. You're a Washingtonian.
That's right. That's right. No, I am a Midwesterner, originally from Michigan, but right now I'm living in Washington, D.C.
Where are you from in Michigan?
Real small town called Clare. It's the gateway to the north.
Cool. I know where Clare is. I grew up in Michigan myself.
Okay.
All right, and Alderman Wagasback is on the phone. We will get to them in just a second. I wanted to ask you let's not ask that question. Let's talk about Earth Week, because we did a second ago. It's all, you know, people celebrated this past weekend. They're celebrating this weekend. And one of the places they're celebrating is SIDS Greenhouses. They present their second annual Spring Planting Festival at their store in Bolingbrook. Since the early 1960s, Sid's Greenhouses has been on the cutting edge of the gardening scene. This two-day event is intended to inspire awareness, appreciation, and respect for the environment, our communities, and homes. This coming Friday and Saturday, mark these days down, April 23rd and 24th. Sid's invites you to attend this special event. They've planted I go to that word. It's the default word, planted. No, they've planned free educational seminars. And many of their key suppliers, as well as community groups, will be there to share information on improving your homes, yards, and gardens. Admission and parking are free. Plus, there'll be refreshments and door prizes, too. Sid's Spring Planting Festival events are only at their Bolingbrook store. So don't go to Palos Hills. You got to go to Bolingbrook for this. It's from 4 to p.m. and 9 p.m. on Friday, April 23rd, and on Saturday, April 24th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So Friday is 4 to 9, Saturday 10 to 4. Visit SIDSOnline.com, where you'll find all the details of the SIDS events, including the list of free seminars. SIDS Home and Garden Showplace in Bolingbrook is located at 550 South Naperville, Plainfield Road at 111th Street, also known as Hassert Boulevard.
They paid paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you got till it's gone? They paid paradise and put up a parking lot. They took all the trees and put them in a tree museum. And charge the people a dollar and a half to see them.
It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. And let's get to another environmental issue. I mean, if it's Earth Week, Earth Day coming up on Thursday, the official day, well, we just talked about the air we breathe. Now let's talk about the water that we drink. And as I mentioned, John Kiesecker is in the studio. He's from Food and Water Watch. And online, too, is the second part of Aldermanic Day, and that's Scott Wagesback from the 32nd Ward. Good morning, Alderman.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Great.
And good morning to John, too.
Thanks, Alderman Wagesback.
And Alderman, thank you so much for supporting Joe Moore's ordinance for clean power.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, you would think, but we all know how politics works in Chicago and elsewhere, actually, too. So we also have Phineas Baxenall, who's with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group, and he's on the line, too. You know, Phineas, this is you're the first person I've ever talked to with the name Phineas.
Well, it's becoming a less unusual name, but it definitely it gave me some trouble in grade school.
I'll bet it did. But it's a great name, and it has a great tradition. So let us start with John, since you're in the studio here, and you and I met a couple of months ago, and we talked about the issue of privatization of water in Chicago, and we're not going to have nearly enough time to do this. We'll do the best we can in a few minutes, but you know, we sold off the rights to our parking meters and the Skyway, and Midway didn't quite happen, but it might. And now the mayor is floating, and I love the way it gets phrased, floating the idea that we might privatize the water system of Chicago. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so we've seen a few hints that Mayor Daley could be looking at leasing or selling off Chicago's water system. And basically what we want to do is start to talk about this and get a public dialogue going. Food and Water Watch has worked with a lot of cities that have looked at and considered or actually done this and found that in most cases it ends up causing consumers to pay much higher water rates, receive poorer service, and in the end, a lot less accountability and transparency in the service process.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all, Alderman Wagesback. Why would it seem to be surprising to the administration in Chicago?
Well, I think that's the point. I don't think it is. They've actually been out there promoting public-private partnerships where essentially privatization of these public assets, and they have a dog and pony show that they've taken out over the last year, even before the parking meters were sold off to, you know, places like Abu Dhabi. The same way that they set up the parking meter deal is the same way that they're looking at these other deals across the city, because the cities, if you really look at the finances of the city, we're bankrupt. We're no better off than the state is, and they need to find ways, or the mayor needs to find ways to plug the budget gaps, and in some ways selling off things like the parking meters, or now what we've heard, and you know, John and I have been looking into it, Brian Imus from PERG, who's I think Phineas works with, we're all looking at what is next, and water could be the next thing.
There's just so many things that I think are bad about this. And I don't even really care that much about the parking meter deal. I mean, I am a resident of the city of Chicago, and I think it was done poorly. It was ham-fisted, the whole handling of it, which really kind of surprised me, given that the city of Chicago is usually they're a little more clever generally. And because they kind of shot themselves in the foot with this, because then to go to the people and say, well, how about the water? It seems to me that our right to our fresh water has got to be protected, and it's not going to be protected by corporations. I've seen the whole privatization issue. It's been on my radar screen for a number of years, because we know someday I expect water companies to be controlling water all over the world, and I don't know how we fight that. How do we fight it, John?
Yeah, I mean, you're right that there's a trend going on here. We've seen that private water companies, these multinationals, are courting water-rich cities throughout the Midwest and the Great Lakes area. So Milwaukee's been approached. Detroit has been approached. Chicago is now being approached by companies that want to stand between individuals and their access to drinking water and water for cleaning and bathing and cooking. And the primary reason is because water is, some are calling it blue gold or the new gold.
But the other reason is finances, isn't it, Alderman, that it costs a lot of money to keep up the infrastructure?
Well, it does, but I think one thing that we've seen with Mayor Daley, and I'll be blunt about it, they have mismanaged the city over the last few years, and it wasn't until this bad economy really exposed their type of leadership that it's led to this sell-off of city assets. I mean, that's when you say the meter deal might not affect you.
It does. I mean, I feel less strongly about it than I do about the water. I still think it was a horrible, horrible deal. And,
sure.
Yeah, it does affect me because it affects the finances for the next 75 years.
Right, and those finances trigger basically a domino effect with all of our other assets. And I think what we're trying to show is that if there is transparency on these issues, it will expose what the underlying problem is, which is mismanagement of our water resources, of our parking meter system, and a lot of other areas of the city. And if you kind of run those assets into the ground, including the jobs that are, you know, people working in those places, the only thing you have left to do is say, we have to sell it off, we have to privatize. And that's what we're trying to show, is that there is a better way to run the city, and the old way of doing things no longer works. And so Mayor Daley's push to say that public-private partnerships are the wave of the future, I mean, if we do them the way that he's proposing, we'll be bankrupt sooner than we can imagine, and we'll be selling off our water to these private companies that control many parts of the world now. And what I think John and Phineas can tell you what happens when we sell off these assets, especially water, and what controls we lose over the life source of humanity.
All right, Phineas, tell us, what do we lose?
Yeah, I think the problems mount over time, which is what's so dangerous about this, that in the short term, you know, the administration gets a big wad of money. We know the parking meter money has largely been already spent, although it was supposed to be there for generations. And over time, you have mounting rate increases. We can be really sure that the rates are going to increase as they do after every privatization deal. But we lose control. The investors need to know that they are going to have a secure revenue stream. So what that means, for instance, in the parking meters is you can't start closing down streets to be pedestrian walkways. You can't start, you know, just willy-nilly doing things like having street fairs, which close off parking revenue. You have to then compensate the operator, the private operator. You lose control of these really vital public assets that need to be operated for the public interest.
I can hardly imagine what kind of consequences there would be if the water system, John, what would we see that would get in our way, in the same way we can't control our streets to some degree because of the parking meters? What would happen with water?
Yeah, for instance, Chicago sells bulk water to surrounding communities, and that is a power that could be negotiated away in a contract with a private water company. Would Chicago, how much control would it have over where it's laying lines out to and which communities are buying water and how much they're paying for that water? What we saw in Milwaukee when there was a proposal to lease out their water system is the suburbs were very upset because they had no idea what putting a corporation in charge of Milwaukee's water would mean for their ability to get it at an affordable price. And I would also note, I mean, another thing that might be of interest is, you know, in Illinois, on average, privately operated water systems charge 36% more than publicly operated systems. So there's the rate question. There's also the question of environmental quality. Privately operated major sewage plants are 10% more often in non-compliance with Clean Water Act than publicly operated systems. So there's all sorts of quality of service issues that come in, too.
In the studio is John Kiesecker from Food and Water Watch. By the way, all this information is on my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to this week's show. The whole point of this, talking about it now, is you're having a rally tomorrow at the Chopin Theater at 1523 West Division. And Food and Water Watch is going to be there. Phineas from U.S. PIRG is going to be there. The alderman, Scott Wagespach, is going to be there. Dr. Rachel Weber from the University of Chicago. And this information is, on my website, but it's 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And alderman, I'll let you have the final word here. What do you hope to get out of this?
Well, we're trying to educate people across the entire city and really across the Midwest to let them know what's going on and what they should be watching out for, especially some of these key words. And I think that, you know, we're just trying to protect our public assets. We're trying to educate people and make sure they're aware of what's going on around them every day. It's like you mentioned with the power plants, and what I said at the press conference was this does not affect just the people of Chicago. It affects the Midwest. It affects the entire world. And what happens with the pollutants, they go around the world. And what happens with the water, it's all interconnected. We're a cohesive, ecological, based existence here. And I think that's what we're really looking at, is trying to protect that. And we can't sell off these assets as Mayor Daley wants to do.
No, I just think this is such a terrible idea. It just awful. So make your voice heard. We were talking about the Clean Power Ordinance. You got to call your alderman. You should call your alderman about this and say, don't sell off our water rights. And really, you will have an effect. And alderman, you know, when you get a phone call or you get a personal letter, you guys pay attention to those things.
That's right.
So I'll tell you what, Alderman Wagespach, you got to come down to the studio sometime and sit down here, and maybe you and Joe Moore can arm wrestle, and we'll do something like that.
I'd be happy to.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show this morning. And Phineas, thank you for your help, and I appreciate you being with us as well.
Thanks for having me. I hope your listeners will be out at the forum tomorrow.
Yes, I hope they all drop by tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Chopin Theater, 1523 West Division. Make your feelings known. We'll talk to you gentlemen later.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. And, John, thank you so much for coming down to the studio. We are definitely going to talk more about this issue. I mean, even if we do it by phone, I know you get people in Chicago, we can do this, but I appreciate you stopping by.
Sounds great. Thanks, Mike.
Now, has your yard become a smorgasbord for deer, rabbits, skunks, squirrels, chipmunks, raccoons, other invited guests? Bonide Repels All is a natural animal repellent, and it will keep deer, rabbits, skunks, squirrels, chipmunks, did I mention raccoons, at bay for up to 2 months and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Repelzol works three different ways, smell, taste, and as an irritant. Repelzol does not have an unpleasant odor. It will last up to 2 months and it's rain fast in just 6 hours. You can apply all natural Repelzol to trees, shrubs, perennials, even around edible crops, or if you have animals chewing on structures or fences. It's one of the most effective animal repellents you will ever use. And Bonide's Repelzol is available at these fine stores, Beeson's Nursery and Bannockburn, Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, Berthold Nursery and Garden Center in Elk Grove Village, or go to Bonide.com for a dealer near you or to see Bonide's full product listing.
Do you want your landscape to stand out but don't know where to start? A landscape that stands out starts with a knockout. The Knockout family of roses are the most disease-resistant roses available. All seven members of the Knockout family are easy to grow and require no special care. Tons of flowers bloom from spring until frost, making your landscape stand out all season long. Available at garden retailers everywhere. Visit theknockoutrose.com/radio.
We'll get to that in a second, Heather, and tell me about it. Okay, if I asked you what it meant to have the new American lawn in your yard, I hope you'd say that it's a lawn that uses less fertilizer, is drought-tolerant, and is more disease and insect-resistant. Well, welcome to the world of Jonathan Green. Their Black Beauty Ultra Grass Seed Mixture, for instance, is composed of an elite turf-type tall fescue grass, Kentucky bluegrass, and perennial ryegrass, some of which possess a waxy cuticle coating. Much like the wax on an apple, this cuticle preserves the moisture in the leaf, making them more drought-tolerant. Their grass seed mixtures also contain beneficial endophytes, which produce chemicals called alkaloids, which are toxic to many insects such as chinch bugs, sod webworms, cutworms, aphids, chafers, and the infamous Japanese beetles. Even better, endophytes reduce the need for pesticide treatments. That's what I call the new American lawn. You can find Jonathan Green products at Wanamaker's Home and Garden Center in Downers Grove, Tholen's Garden Center in Bourbonnais, and Alsip Home and Nursery in Frankfurt.
DR Services Unlimited has been providing Chicago's North Shore with award-winning remodeling and design-build services since 1991, giving their clients top-quality service and real value. They're on the cutting edge of green building technology, helping clients make their home more energy efficient without sacrificing beauty or function. If you want to make your home more energy efficient, simply want to add a room or renovate, call DR Services at 847-998-1687. Or visit them at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Speaking of those guys, Ron Coghill, DR Service, Mr. DR Services himself, and Joe Builder, Mighty House at the top of the hour. You just sent a, you've been Facebooking.
I've been tweeting and Facebooking, my fingers numb.
And a friend of yours tests water.
She tests water. She's originally from Chicago, and she's out in Boston right now, and that's one of the parts of her job. And I put up that we had Scott, how do I say his last name again?
Wagisback.
Wagisback on our airwaves, and that Chicago was thinking about privatizing our water, and she wrote in that it was the worst idea ever.
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 I think so.
Worst idea ever.
It's spring, and you're thinking about how to green up your lawn. Who isn't? Okay, I'm going to suggest an organic way to do it that's more of a soil amendment than fertilizer. I'm talking about Nature's Blend with alfalfa and humate by Back to Nature Compost. Nature's Blend with alfalfa and humate is a balanced blend of composted cotton burrs, composted cattle manure, alfalfa, and humate. Cotton burrs and cattle manure, besides their value as organic fertilizers, provide an important food source for beneficial soil organisms. Alfalfa is high in nitrogen, and humate is an important source of humic acid and micronutrients. It activates beneficial soil organisms. Nature's Blend with alfalfa and humate works great as a top dressing or soil amendment, and you're feeding your soil, which feeds your lawn. Dr. Wally at Pesci's and I both love Back to Nature products, so give them a try. Nature's Blend with alfalfa and humate is available at Red's Garden Center in Northbrook, Knupper's Nursery and Landscape in Palatine, and Castle Gardens in Volo and Richmond. Okay.
Let's land this puppy. Next week, really kind of fun. I've got a guy who's got his
had one caller that we never got to earlier in the show, Fran from Oak Lawn. Just to let you know, silver bells are a fair tree for this area, as long as it's kept well-drained, in part in full sun, and organic soil is used.
There's your answer. And next week, the guy and his family who weighed their trash for an entire year. They live right here in Chicago, and we're going to tell you what they found. They are really celebrating Earth Day. Mighty House is next with Ron Cowgill and Joe Biller. See ya.